January 6th, 2007. You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, episode 65.
Could I use your guys' phone for a sec?
Is there anything wrong?
I don't feel very good.
Hi.
Is Grandma there?
No, she's getting her hair done. What do you need?
Can you just go get her for me?
I'm really busy right now.
Well, just tell her to come get me.
Why?
Because I don't feel good.
Well, have you talked to the school nurse?
No, she doesn't know anything. Will you just come get me?
No.
Well, will you do me a favor then?
What?
Can you bring me my chapstick?
No, Napoleon.
But my lips hurt real bad.
Just borrow some from the school nurse. I know she has like 5 sticks in her drawer.
I'm not going to use hers, you sicko.
See ya.
Oh, idiot.
There's a lady I know. If I didn't know her, she'd be the lady I didn't know. And my lady, she went down. Some broccoli. She brought it home. She's chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. She's chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli.
Thanks for the advice.
Clap your hands, everybody, and everybody clap your hand. We lambda, 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 and Omega Moon. And we come here on stage tonight to do a show for you. We got a rockin' rhythm and a high-tech sound that'll make you move your body down to the ground. We got Poindexter on the violin, and Lewis and Gilbert will be joining in. We got Booger Presley on the mean guitar, and a rap by little old me, Lamar. We got Tekashi beating on his gong. The boys and the moves are clapping along. And just when you thought you seen it all, along comes a lambda four-foot tall. So won't you come on out here on the floor, so we can work our bodies like never before. Break.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
I can't stand it. I hate it.
Hey, hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. It is episode 65, and it's a whole new year. Thank you for putting up with our slight sabbatical, our New Year's holiday
Christmas
bender, as I like to call it, or, you know, Christmas break, that's what I like to call it. But we hope you all had a happy New Year, happy Christmas, and all that kind of stuff. You got lots of presents and stuff, and we're back. We're back and ready to do the show. Now, I don't do the show alone, as you know by now, unless you're listening to the show for the first time. Let me tell you, I don't do the show alone. I do it with Steven, here to my left, the pop culture zealot. How are you doing, Steven?
I'm doing just fine. I had a nice rest over the holidays.
Good, good. It's very good that you needed rest, or as I like to call it, rehab. It's vacation, right?
Vacation. I took vacation from work.
Right,
as well away from the podcast here.
Also from rehab, or Betty Ford, is Bill. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Yes, I'm much better now that I'm back from the Betty Ford clinic.
It's that Coke problem we talked about earlier. Do you remember that, guys? I don't.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Man,
just
we haven't
a little
done the
too
show
much blow.
We haven't done the show in years, it feels like.
I thought he went to Betty Ford. He went there for the funeral, but they didn't have it there.
Well, I saw how lonely she was, and I thought I'd give her a little company.
Well, that was nice. Yeah. Now, did everyone get good stuff for Christmas?
Got everything I needed.
I didn't get everything
I needed, but, you know.
I didn't get everything I wanted, but that's right. To be expected.
We never do, though. We're grown-ups now. It's the children who get the good stuff now. So I have a daughter, and she loads up, and it's just like, when I started opening presents and I was getting jeans, a shirt, I was like, I'm now an adult.
I don't like this whole idea of growing up and getting shirts.
Yeah, I also got some DVDs. You got to load up on DVDs every Christmas.
I would have much rather had this outfit than an Xbox 360.
I also got some cool graphic
novels.
No, seriously, Steven, just buy it now. Come on, dude.
No, don't buy it now because they're going to be releasing a new version with a better chip and an HDMI output and a 120 gig hard drive. Yeah, so they're going to be releasing a new version. They're calling the Zephyr.
Steven, don't buy it now, no matter what.
When is this, Bill?
Probably mid this year, like after March.
Nice. Okay. Awesome.
Keep me informed and let me know when to buy it.
All right, I'll let you know. And I'll let you know which one it is with corresponding with the serial codes and all that crap.
We'll keep everyone informed on the show. We hope everybody enjoyed our New Year's after the show. It seems like a lot of people are listening to it. But you can never tell with downloads if they're listening to the first minute going, what is this crap, and turning it off. So hopefully you stuck it out and enjoyed yourself there. And we're back here on the show, and we got all sorts of new shows to talk about. And coming up soon, our favorite shows will be back. 24, it's coming back. Not to mention Heroes, and then Lost will be back, BSG, all that. There's some shows that are out now that we'll be talking about soon. But before we get into that, I keep seeing all this crap about Rosie and Donald Trump. Have you seen that?
Their
feud.
They're feuding.
The Donald and Rosie, they're having a feud. And
let's play the feud.
And it all started out with The View, where basically there is, who is it, Miss America?
Miss USA.
There's a scandal with these
kissing photos where she's kissing another chick. And
she was getting it on with Miss Teen USA.
Have you seen those pictures?
Yes.
No,
If my grandmother
all I've seen
saw
are the ones
them,
from Miss Nevada licking the other girl's boob.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, Bill.
I saw the two girls making out. It was
yeah, my grandmother would have a heart attack. So I can see why that this whole Miss USA has to be better than that.
That's some good fap material. I'm going to have to find it.
What is it about drunk chicks? Like you see in the Girls Gone Wild, they always have to lift their shirt and stick out their tongue and go, "Nah!" And they got their... What is that face they make? I don't understand what the hell that is.
I don't know, but I like it.
So anyway,
you're looking at their face?
Yeah. So the Donald, he wants to give her a second chance, and then Rosie, loudmouth Rosie on The View, has this to say. Let's check it out.
This young girl, Tara Connor, how old is she? 21. She went out and she was partying. She's from Kentucky.
She's so cute.
She went to New York and she was hanging out at all the parties, doing what Paris and Lindsay do, you know,
right,
dancing, whatever. And so he held a press conference to announce whether or not she was going to retain her crown.
Yeah,
and then she started to cry.
She did.
Going, I just want to thank Donald. He's giving me a second chance.
And it was brilliant.
And there he is, Hare Luke. He's the moral authority. Left the first wife,
wow,
had an affair, left
up
the second.
Stop
wife
talking.
Had kids both times, but he's the moral compass for 20-year-olds in America. Donald, sit and spin, my friend.
Whoa.
No, no.
It's like Vanessa.
And who are the Yentas clapping at that last
night? I know. Woo, you told him off, Rosie. It's like Vanessa and Bill after the show, you know?
I'm telling you.
Just telling Bill.
I'm going to tell her to sit and spin next time she actually shows up for the show.
That's another thing. Vanessa, she's busy moving still, and she'll be back with us next week.
Yeah, my back finally healed from that.
That's good. Okay, so Rosie said that, and then Trump fired back. Let's see what he had to say.
Rosie's a loser. What a slob. <Forget it. laughs> Rosie, who had many chances... And, you know, when you look like Rosie, you have to have a lot of chances. It's not easy. And she called me a pimp because I own beauty pageants. I mean, Rosie lies. She said I went bankrupt. I never went bankrupt. Many of my friends went bankrupt. I never went bankrupt. I think Barbara will eventually fire Rosie. She can't stand Rosie. Now, Barbara's going to deny that, and I don't care. I mean, you know, maybe Barbara will never speak to me again. She didn't tell me to keep it quiet, or I would never reveal that. But during my conversation with Barbara, she called me last week. She said, Donald, I got to put up with it. I can't stand it. I hate it. Now, eventually, she'll get rid of Rosie. There's no question in my mind. And I hope you save this clip, because eventually Rosie will be gone from The View.
I'm going
to
save this.
I'd like to lose 15 pounds, okay? But Rosie's a slob. She's crude. She's tough. She's arrogant. She's pushy. She's disgusting. In certain ways, she's a degenerate. The nice part about me, I'm not running for office. People hate Rosie. She's a degenerate. I don't want to talk to her. When somebody attacks me, I attack them back.
Wow.
Holy crap.
He went off on that fat degenerate. Look at this behemoth over here.
This slob here.
So basically they're going back and forth. It's on every ridiculous show like Access Hollywood, E.T., The Insider. And that's all you hear about all week. Donald, let's face it, he talks to anyone about it who sticks a microphone in his face.
Yeah, he's a media whore, just like Rosie.
Yeah, but then The Apprentice is coming on. It's premiering this week, I think tomorrow night on Sunday. So he goes on
Rosie's a slob. Watch The Apprentice.
Yeah, he goes on the Today Show, and the first thing they ask him about is Rosie, and he just goes off on Meredith Vieira, the chick who used to be on The View. Let's check this out. And it's just like, what the hell?
I mean, here we are talking about The Apprentice, and you don't talk about The Apprentice.
Yeah,
you talk about
I'm going to talk about The Apprentice, but
you shouldn't mention him in the same breath.
Well, but you're fueling the fire with it.
Excuse me, asked me a question about Rosie. What am I going to do? Say, Meredith, I have no comment. I don't want to talk about Rosie. You just said Rosie. So what am I going to do? I'd love not to talk about her. She's not worthy of talking. And,
but,
you know, you asked me the question.
I
have
that
no
sort
choice
of rhetoric.
Because every time I go on an interview, people ask me about Rosie.
Donald
so
is
I
a
respond
loud talker
by saying she's not very intelligent, which she's not.
No.
She's had many failures in her life, which she has. And I respond. And I get on this show, which is about The Apprentice, and the first question you ask me is about Rosie. And I love you very much,
but
you know,
it's
what do we waste time for?
It's also what everybody's talking about.
Well, okay, but you're asking me why do I talk about Rosie. Now you're saying it's what everyone's talking about. So give me a break. You can't have it both ways.
All right.
You know what? The Apprentice has done so well. It was the number one show in television. It continues to do very well.
It's a hell of a segue.
Especially given that she instigated the remarks. I think Rosie's been bullying people for a long time, and my father has the form to retaliate.
Wow. It just keeps going on.
Let's talk about The Apprentice now.
Is it all staged? Is this all just for press?
Probably.
No, I think they actually hate each other.
It's probably blown out of proportion because The Apprentice. I mean, he's blown it up, made it a lot more.
Yeah, everyone's like, ooh, the Donald. Let's watch The Apprentice. Why not?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, I'm going to watch it because of that.
The one thing Rosie did do is funny. When she imitated him on the show, she did the little hair flip, like she did the comb over like the Donald. I think that's what pissed him off. He definitely did not like when she said he'd gone bankrupt before. He was like, I've never gone bankrupt. Some of my companies have, but I never have.
Yeah, personally,
yeah, I think he even made Barbara Walters issue an apology on the show. Like a day or two later after that.
Yeah, and she even says, ABC has told me that I need to say, at no time has Donald Trump ever filed for bankruptcy. So it's like legal action. That's what it was all about.
So, I mean, they probably got to put a big muzzle on Rosie.
It's just funny. But, you know, him saying how she's disgusting and a slob or whatever, not nice to say, but you hear her talk and you just want to pop your eardrums. She's like this. She's from Brooklyn. She's you know, she'll get in alley fights or something. Yeah. And is it all an act?
With her, probably. Yeah.
Her street tough act. She's doing the same character she did in A League of Their Own. Yeah.
In A League of Their Own.
Yeah. Remember that? She plays the tough dame who's friends with Madonna.
Yeah.
So it's just silly. But anyway, enough of that stuff. Before we move on to entertainment, we got a little voicemail from the Rondu. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. I was listening last week to your review of the best and worst of all Christmas movies of all time, and I can't believe you guys left out a great classic. Now, if you guys were watching Christmas movies in maybe the late 70s, early 80s, and this gem of a classic always showed
hey,
up
Ron,
on TV right around this time, starring a young Pia Zadora.
Just blow your nose.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. You know, where Santa Claus and two kids get kidnapped and taken to Mars, and Santa Claus is forced to make toys for the Martian kids.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that just screams classic, and nobody brought it up. I'm very shocked.
And
I'm very disappointed in you guys. That was just very pretentious of you guys, all right?
Well, we always try to be pretentious.
Well, there is a reason why we didn't bring it up, because it's bad, and it was a bad MST3K episode also.
Yeah, I really hope Ron gets some NyQuil or something. It'll be Phil's
to
best.
Clear up that congestion?
Yeah. Poor guy. He was sick over the holidays, wasn't he? Now, what do you guys say we get into some entertainment? Let's do it!
I can't stand it. I hate it.
Did I mention that Vanessa, she will be back on the show next week? She's just busy right now.
She's crude. Uh-huh. She's tough. She's arrogant. She's pushy. She's disgusting. In certain ways, she's a degenerate.
Wow, Trump went in on Vanessa.
Well, I think that pretty much sums it up.
I didn't hear slob in there that time.
What a slob.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
There you go. Now, Bill, there's this movie that you keep talking to me about, and you said, we got to cover this on the show this week, or you're quitting the show. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. No.
No.
That film is called Alpha Dog, and I keep seeing commercials to it. Have you seen the commercials? Mm-hmm. I've seen a trailer in the theater. And the main thing they're focusing on, like on Entertainment Tonight, when they get done with the Donald Rosie thing, they're like, oh, Justin Timberlake is in this movie, and he plays a tough, and look, he has tattoos. So he really kind of like got into the character by having tattoos drawn.
Yes, he's got badass tats.
Yeah, he's got the tats.
The one I saw was, ooh, he and Cameron must be on the outs because she didn't go with him to the premiere.
Yeah, oh. Uh-oh. Man. Very serious. How can anyone do that job like that dipshit from Sugar Ray? And he's like, this is what I'm doing now, looking himself in the mirror.
You know who really annoys me bad is the one that's on that extra with the Sugar Ray guy, but it's a black chick with this gigantic Krusty the Clown hair.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hate her.
I just hate the whole show. I feel like my life energy being sucked out of me. And I imagine people watching that, like, going, ooh, they're going to talk about Rosie and Donald next. I can't wait.
Yes, those shows are like psychic vampires.
I'm waiting for the Byron Allen show on Saturday night.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, Christ. How many shows has that guy had?
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's doing a show on
Byron Allen. Now there's one called Comedians with Byron Allen.
We got to get
Comedians
Byron
Unleashed.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it.
Well, have you downloaded Byron Allen Cast, his podcast? It's awesome.
No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
No, but there's...
I made that up.
I just saw one, the guy that did the original Office in England.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais. They've got a podcast.
Yeah, he's had one for a while.
He's got the world record now for being most downloaded.
Well, yeah, and then he started charging for it, too, also.
Yeah, and it's real funny.
You know, I listened to it when it was free, and I couldn't listen to it.
It's unlistenable.
It's some English chaps, and they're reading the paper, essentially, and they make little quips and stuff. And, I'm an American dude. I live in Texas, and I don't always understand the English accent, you know, what they say something. Mm-hmm. Like about going to the bog or watching the telly.
Well, hold on a second. I've sent you many different British shows that we've both enjoyed, including, you know, Space, Big Train, all that. We have no problem understanding them.
Yeah.
Yet some other people, they just have to lay it on so thick.
But yeah, and this is different because it's unscripted. It's guys just sitting around talking, and naturally you're going to use all the slang you have in your everyday language.
Right.
And I don't always get what the hell they're talking about.
No.
So check that out, Ricky Gervais' podcast. And I'm going to call him Ricky Gervais. I don't like the Gervais. It's pretentious. Don't you agree, Steven?
I'm going to call him Jervy.
Yeah. Okay, so the movie's called Alpha Dog, and essentially it's based on a true story about the suburbanites in Hollywood, punk-ass kids who are all into the thug life, gangster rap, and they're white, and they deal drugs, right? Apparently, one owes the other one drugs, so he's like, hey, let's kidnap his brother, his younger brother, and we will hold him ransom until we get the money we're owed for our drugs. Well, they end up taking the little kid in, and they treat him, they party with him and stuff, until the guy realizes, hey, I'm going to go to jail, I'm kidnapping. I got to just get this kid out of the way. I got to kill this kid, right? Is that essentially what it's about, Bill?
Yeah.
And it looks really interesting. Let's go ahead and check out the trailer.
We were all kids from good families. We played together. We grew up together. And in 1999, every day I'm hustling, we were all living our own version of the American dream. But Johnny ran the show.
Maybe 500.
A drug dealer? No. Did he sell a little? Yeah.
What up, Jake? You know that thing I told you I was going to take care of?
What happened?
It's washout.
Okay, well, I still got to get paid, Jake.
All of it. Be careful, Johnny. I'm not one of your little friends.
Point that thing at me. You better pull the trigger. You have everyone else fooled around here, but I ain't buying it.
Yo, Johnny, isn't that the brother of the guy who owes you money?
You kidding me?
Hello.
Hey, what's up? I didn't do anything.
This is all gonna get squared away soon, I promise.
Kid's older brother owes money, and Johnny's holding him like a marker or something until he gets paid.
So you're like ransom or something. That's hot.
It's okay. It's like another story to tell my grandkids.
Stolen boy.
This is your lucky night, get in!
Marco.
Hello.
Marco.
Wipe that smile off.
Hey, it's got that same blonde that's in everything now, Bill.
Yes, it does.
Lily Kane.
You like this?
Yeah.
This is dope.
Yeah.
They could be in a lot of trouble. You can't just take a kid.
That's what I told you.
This kid has been kidnapped.
Chill out.
What kind of problems am I looking at?
You asked for ransom.
You're probably looking at life.
Yeah. But what if I were to offer you $2,500 just to kill the kid?
Kill him? Are you insane?
That's a joke, right? Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk. That's to whack, yo.
What if I said you could jump on a bus?
Featuring
ride
Justin
home,
Timberlake with tattoos.
You gotta do this.
Awesome.
Man.
He's so tough.
You don't have a choice.
I'm not going to prison.
Frankie, what's going on?
There's a missing person poster on every street corner. You come clean now, John. You come clean now.
I got it under control.
Yes. He's got the whole bringing sexy back thing under control.
I would never rat you guys out. Yeah, we know that, man.
It does look like a good movie, but here's... How are you guys on movies where there's no likable characters, really? Or it's with stupid teenagers? It could be
tough.
It could be a well-made film, really great editing, directing, but the characters are just completely... Just like the girls, they want to sleep with the kidnapped kid, and they all do blow. They steal drugs. They act like they're black. Like, well, will we be able to get through this?
No. You know what? The original trailer... Well, I don't think it was an original trailer. It was a rough-cut trailer that was released sometime early last year when the movie was originally supposed to come out. It was really good.
Right.
You know, it made me want to see the movie. And now that these trailers are coming out, it doesn't look particularly great, and there's some bad reviews of it online, but I'm still interested in it just for the fact of the true story behind it.
Yeah, I've read good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for it, and that's enough to get me curious. And you can't blame the studio. They're like, okay, Justin Timberlake's in this. That's how we're going to sell the movie, with Justin Timberlake.
Well, this movie's been in legal hell for like a year and a half, because just before the movie was supposed to be released, the FBI actually captured the guy that the movie's based on, this Jesse James Hollywood. And when that happened, they were screwed. They couldn't release it because the attorney for Jesse James Hollywood said that the movie portrays him in a negative light and that it would affect his trial.
Right,
so
right.
There's all kinds of... And they're lucky they're even able to get it out now.
You know what will sway me? I can't wait to see what Roper thinks about this.
Yeah.
Richard Roper.
The Roper.
Yeah, the Roper.
I thought you were going to say Mr. Roper.
Yeah, Mr. Roper. He's a great landlord, and he loves movies, so I can't wait to see what he says. So
it's a great critic.
Check it out. Let's go ahead and get into the TiVo stuff.
She's crude. She's tough. She's arrogant.
He's already
pushy.
Got his
she's
part of
disgusting.
The show.
In certain ways, she's a degenerate. She's disgusting. What a slob.
Jeez, okay, Trump. We're past your part of the show, all right? Now, Bill, I don't know if you caught this, but this week on Letterman, Matt Lauer was on there.
And he was?
And of course,
was he glib?
He was very glib. And in fact, Letterman went ahead and brought up the Tom Cruise, and I just thought it was funny to hear his take on it.
It was a hot-button issue. I knew it was going to raise some eyebrows.
Sure.
I just wasn't prepared for the, you know, you're glib, you don't know what you're talking about, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I thought, I didn't think there was a need to make it personal. I think he could have simply said, look, here's how I feel about the subject. There's how you feel about it. We disagree.
You have kind of two extreme, and some people would describe them as bizarre reactions.
You remember, he hopped up on Oprah's couch. Then he was in, where, London or something like that, walking the red carpet one day doing interviews, and the guy hit him with the squirt gun in the face.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that just basically put him over the edge.
Yeah.
And so by the time he got to me, he was just a little bit, a little bit off.
Oh, that hunky Matt Lauer. He's so funny. He weaves a good yarn, doesn't he?
Such an
He's
idiot.
He's just a little bit off.
He really is glib. I think Tom Cruise is right.
He was right. I agree with Tom. Now, there's this new show on CBS. There's a lot of great shows coming out, but this looks like one of the best. Armed and Famous.
It's just aching for some Emmy Award nominations.
Yes, it is. Now, here's the... Stephen, if you haven't heard about this, what it is celebrities training to be cops. We got LaToya Jackson.
I don't know if I call him celebrity.
We got Jack Osborne. We got Wee Man, the guy from Jackass, the little midget dude. We've also got We also got Erik Estrada from Chips. Awesome. And some wrestling chick. I have no idea who she is. So what they do, they have to go through different, basically, you know what it is. Every week they're training. They got to do stuff. And this week they're going through a little bit of training with the taser gun. Let's check it out.
The tasers are an integral part of what we do, and we thought you ought to see them.
Rules governing the taser are that you cannot possess one in the state of Indiana unless you have been tasered yourself. That was basically it. So we had to just get fried.
We can do this one of two ways. We can actually get shot with the probes, or we can get hooked up with an alligator clip.
I'm going to hook him up.
Do it!
Jesus. That's Erik Estrada.
You know, one of my testicles has enlarged.
Whoa!
From getting zapped by a taser.
All right, buddy.
Can't you sue them?
Maybe there's lots of large testicles.
Okay, good.
I would be afraid to kill Wee Man.
Wee Man probably would love it.
Okay.
And then we got LaToya.
Ready?
Yes, go for it.
This is pain.
That okay? Sound like an orgasm.
The pain, I can tolerate it. I'm going to tolerate it all because that's part of his job.
We're doing it at a training level right now, okay? So we're not here to hurt each other.
Here's our test.
Whoa.
LaToya is scaring the hell out of me.
What happened to 30%?
Here's our test.
LaToya, mellow out.
I really was not cool. She's using like full-on force.
Lie down on the ground. Lie down on the ground.
Never thought any day in my life I'd get handcuffed by a Jackson.
So basically it's a ridiculous show, but hey, we're going to check it out for our listeners. They got to know what we have to say about it, right?
I was going to check out the first important show just to see, you know,
I think it's funny, my wife gets so sick of me watching these shows for our show. She's like, please tell me you're not going to watch The Apprentice again this year. And I'm like, I got to. It's for the show. It's research. And I'll admit, they're horrible shows, but it's fun to watch them. One of those shows that's actually really good because it's based on an Ashton Kutcher social experiment, if you will, Steven.
Hey, don't be making fun of it.
It's Beauty and the Geek.
Love that show.
That show's back this week. And what was this bill? Like the dorks? They had to do some kind of like stand-up routine or something?
Well, they changed the show around a little bit to start from the beginning. They brought in the geeks and the beauties. But instead of them going and choosing one another by looks, they had to turn around and ask questions so that they couldn't see them. So they chose by voice and answers, kind of like, I guess, the dating game or whatever the hell that was.
Well, I have here this dorky guy who does a little stand-up routine about allergies.
This was part of their task, or one of their tasks, where the geeks had to get up in front of an audience and do a stand-up routine.
Okay, let's check this out.
I think nature is pretty great, you know? I do. But if I would have designed things, I would have done allergies a little bit differently. Like, yeah, you know, instead of making people allergic to small things like peanuts and strawberries, I would have made people allergic to really scary things like tigers and sharks, you know? So it's like, uh-oh, a rash. There's a tiger somewhere. You know? It's like, my nose is
running. Get Josh Blue in the room.
Where's that shark? Uh-oh, I got a rash too. It must be a tiger shark.
All that guy needs is cerebral palsy, and he'd get even more laughs.
He would become famous. Oh, that's pretty bad. So it was like a two-hour premiere, Bill. What the hell is going on in the show for 2 hours?
Well, you know, there's a lot of filler,
all the introductions.
Filler, you know.
Are there any hot chicks this year?
There are a couple hot chicks this year.
So it's
and there's
watching.
One that's really, really ugly, but has an incredible body. Her name is Cece.
Cece. Well, okay.
Yeah, and she flirts with all the guys, and at one point, one of the geeks was, like, obsessed with her, so he's doing anything she wants, and she's like, oh, okay, well, let's give you a makeover. And she starts putting makeup on him and putting his hair up and all that, and this poor kid just looks totally emasculated, but he's willing to do it because he's just, like, completely obsessed with this girl. And she takes him downstairs to show him off to the other girls and the geeks. And they were so pissed off. Like, one of the geeks said, well, why don't you just cut his balls off right now?
Nice. Speaking of having your balls cut off, VH1 this week, I think it's next week, is premiering a show called Shooting Tom Sizemore. Tom Sizemore, he's a great actor. I love him in Saving Private Ryan, Black Hawk Down. He's just been in a lot of great films over the years.
He was great in that Michael Mann show, Robbery Homicide Division.
Yeah.
He was on for like one season.
He's just a great tough guy. He was even great in Pearl Harbor, which wasn't a great film, but I love the part where he shoots down the Japanese plane with the shotgun from the tower.
Yes.
He's just a really cool guy, and he's in every military movie ever. But unfortunately, some things kind of hit rock bottom there with the drugs and stuff and battering Heidi Fly, some of that. So when I heard that he was going to do a reality show for VH1, I was like, oh, no. Oh, God. What is it going to be like? The Hogan Knows Best show? Just, you know, bad, like Osbournes type of thing. But I started watching the show online. You can actually watch the premiere on there. And it's actually more like just a documentary. And apparently he said when he was his most paranoid, he started filming everything he did, including drugs and stuff. So they have all this crazy footage of him acting like a nut job, carrying a shotgun out around and stuff, and just completely paranoid. And then, of course, he went to rehab. But let's go ahead and check out this clip. And I'm going to say the show looks pretty interesting, and it looks well made. Let's check it out.
All I ever wanted to do was act. I was very ambitious. By the time I was 30, I had a film career. Before turning 40, I had it all. I was working with the most talented people in motion pictures.
Get the music like down a little.
Al Pacino, Tom Hanks.
Use the levelator.
Best directors, Oliver Stone, Steven Spielberg, Ridley Scott. I had more money than I ever thought I'd make.
Is he doing a Michael Madsen impression?
My dream.
Kinda.
And I turned into a nightmare.
All day, little Donnie.
I met Heidi Fleiss in January 2001.
Bank
I had been
drug
free for years.
If you want to clean up your act, don't date Heidi Fleiss.
And that night sparked a downward spiral that nearly destroyed me. I became heavily addicted to crystal meth and in the later stages heroin. And then very suddenly, the drugs had completely taken over. And in my warped state, I decided to document my own downfall. I was becoming reclusive, losing touch with reality.
I feel as if I may have ruined my life.
Yeah. I began to lose everything. I wasn't getting
the
what I
wanted
anymore.
I'm going to say this clip is overscored.
Legal problems cost me
just a little
of my money. I may have to declare bankruptcy.
Why not just do our whole show like this? Loud soundtrack in the background.
How come we don't have a soundtrack? We do need a soundtrack.
I lost
Foggy, get on that.
I was just sued today for $5 million by Miss Heidi Fleiss.
Foggy could DJ the show, if you will. Just always be back there.
DJ Foggy.
Yeah.
Do they know I'm afraid?
No. He does bar mitzvahs, by the way.
Never. When I kill everybody, it became a burden.
I'm just a tyrannic Hawaii boy.
Sounds like Charles Manson.
Yo, man, it's gone, man. Like Pluto, man.
Go to rehab or die.
Is that an egg timer?
I chose rehab.
Yes.
But getting sober is only a start.
That's a nice tambourine.
I'm broke.
Tab.
I'm homeless. And my reputation has been severely tarnished.
I think it's
in
Peter
short,
Gabriel
I have
music.
To start my whole life.
Red
all over
rain.
Again. I have to dig out of this hole I've created for myself. And that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Trippy, man.
I like the music. I feel like I'm on drugs. Whoa, man.
Maybe that's the feeling they were going for.
So what it is it's basically documentary-like of him being released from rehab and going through life, trying to get his life back together. It's interesting. It's very, can the guy lose at this point? I mean, it's like he said he's destroyed his reputation in Hollywood and he's got to re-put it back together. And on the show, he gets a job doing a really crappy Canadian horror movie, but he wants to show that he can get work again. So he's got to start with the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, Tom, have your agent get you a job on TV somewhere. Do a TV show. Don't get right back into the films. Maybe do some guest spots, Law and Order, something like that. And just, you know.
Jason can be your manager.
Yeah, here. But I... You know, I don't know how it works, but you know Hollywood, they always have to put up with this, some guy who has a drug problem.
Oh. Yeah.
You look at Robert Downey Jr., man, his career is getting back on track. Hopefully Tom Sizemore stays clean, because he's a very talented guy. And
Look at Lindsay Lohan right now. Yeah. She's so talented. She has so many problems.
Yeah, she needs to get help.
I mean, if she can be a celebrity and get work, why can't Tom Sizemore, who's infinitely more...
He does
able than her.
If he did indeed rough up Heidi Fleiss, he needs to not be roughing up the ladies.
The whole
yeah, but it's Heidi Fleiss. She madams. Looks like a man. He was confused. Like, hey, man, how'd you get in my room?
So I'm going to go ahead and watch that show and just check it out. It doesn't look as exploitive and cheesy as I thought. I mean, sure, it is exploitive in a way, but it's not done...
But it seems like he's done it to himself.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's not done manipulative where it looks like it's edited in a way. It looks like the camera's just following him around. it looks like a documentary. It doesn't look like when you see on these reality shows where they edit it for things to fit right in their storyline kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not House of Carters, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, House
of Carters. Okay, guys, it's back. Trump is back.
I can't stand it. I hate it.
I can't either. But The Apprentice is back. And Bill, I bet you can't guess what place The Apprentice is taking part in this year.
I think it's in L.A.
Yes, it is. It's L.A. Now, before I play this clip, just listen to the beginning. Trump is calling his wife. And remember, he has a newborn baby, newborn son. They ADR a baby sound over the track, and it's so obvious it's just cheesy. Let's check this out. It's The Apprentice, new in L.A. I'm a loud talker. And I can't believe how freaking loud this guy talked. He talks really loud, and he never pauses.
How's California?
Great.
I'm heading to the airport right now. I'll see you in Los Angeles very soon.
I can't wait to see you. Have a safe flight.
I will. Bye-bye,
oh, my God.
Say bye-bye, Daddy. See you soon.
Goo-goo.
Bye. Por
voyage. I'm Donald Trump, and I have properties all over the place. In fact, my newest golf course in L.A., Trump National, is doing amazingly well, and I've decided to build a house there.
It's like they didn't just take that from the Gerber's commercial.
I think that's where it's from.
Yeah! In L.A.!
I love L.A. What's not sounds to like love Las about Vegas. Great weather
I know,
and an
I want
economy
Trump
that's
Vegas.
Worth almost $600 billion?
They should have played the Sinatra song. L.A. is my lady.
Lots of companies this should and thousands be like of employees.
The Randy
I'm always
Newman
looking
out
for
here.
Someone yeah. who's new and talented.
But Trump
I'm looking
scene.
For someone who's yeah. a problem solver.
Stop yelling!
I'm looking I for love L.A.
Who's a negotiator.
I'm looking
I'm
for
looking
someone
for
that can put up
the
with
apprentice.
The yelling all the time.
Hey, Donald, you're mic'd, all right?
Right now, these 18 candidates are about to embark on the world's toughest
Stop
job.
Stop yelling! Why is he yelling?
They're the best and the brightest.
I'm a bit of a loud talker.
Business owners. Internet executive.
Rosie is a
even
cow.
An Olympic athlete.
She's a slob.
Candidates are a diverse and talented group.
And you know what? A degenerate.
A friggin' degenerate.
To win a year-long apprenticeship in the Trump organization.
And she's it's just a lesbian like that lifetime. Ellen DeGeneres.
I got nothing. Huh?
This is the mansion where I've set up my temporary Los Angeles office. And inside is the dreaded boardroom. Where each week, somebody will be fired.
Hi, Daddy. Daddy's coming home.
Goo-goo.
Hi, Daddy.
Dad, Trump. It's like, wow, that's obviously edited. Home.
When this 14-week job interview is over, only one candidate will remain. Who will succeed? Who will fail? And who will be the apprentice?
Who will be able to put up with my loud talking?
Jesus!
Oh, man.
Now, do they tell him? Do you think he just loud talks and the producer's like, I can't tell him?
Well, he's probably used to it in boardrooms having to talk over a
do you think now
20-foot
they,
table so everybody can...
Do they compensate for it now where they say, hey, boom guy, go stand across the street?
You got a couple of wind socks over the mic, now, trying to muffle it.
Now, I don't know if you guys have seen commercials for this, Steven. Have you seen it? Where the losers, they have to sleep in a tent outside.
Yes.
And, you know, in L.A., there's always the monsoons. They show it all windy and people, like they're going to blow away. It's like...
It's like it's friggin' L.A. people. Jesus Christ.
Do they know, set
they
up fans?
A light rain is a monsoon.
Yeah.
I was telling you, when I was out there in L.A. working, it's like there was this mild drizzle. And then you got storm warnings on the TV. I'm like, where's the storm? You know, I'm looking out the window. It's like sprinkling. You know, it's a sprinkle here in
Flash
Texas.
Flash thunderstorm.
It's like if they got any storms like we got here, they would just freak and die.
Yeah, Texas loves their storms. By the way, Bill, if there's a storm in Texas, they're interrupting every single show. Hey, there could be some thunderstorms coming.
There's
this
tornadoes.
Way.
Flash flooding.
Yeah.
Well, the original week we were supposed to move your sister. That was the big storm weekend.
Yeah, it was
here.
Huge. Never stopped raining.
And it rained all day long, and There were tornado sirens going on.
And just think, if you were in L.A. in a tent, how scary that would be, Steven.
That would be scary.
It would motivate you to win the next challenge, wouldn't it? Now, Bill, a great show finally premiered. We saw the premiere to this, like, years ago, the Knights of Prosperity.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
We saw the pilot, is what I'm trying to say. A while back, and it's a great show, very entertaining. It looks like they changed up the pile a little bit, maybe shrinking down the time. That's the one thing, I like hour-long shows, like Ed. It's from the creators of Ed, Rob Burnett and the other guy. What's his name?
John Beckerman.
Yeah, John Beckerman. Basically, these guys created Ed. It was an hour-long comedy show. And well, I mean, I say comedy show, it wasn't slapstick, but it was a comedic show, right?
Yeah, and it was like a dramedy, if you will.
Knights of Prosperity. I've seen most people compare it to My Name is Earl. It's kind of a silly show. It's fun, but it, you know, it's 30 minutes. I kind of want a longer show, but it is funny.
And unlike what, My Name is Earl now.
It has Donald Logue. Do you remember that guy? He was on Friday for Life.
Tao of Steve.
Tao of Steve.
Yeah, it's got some funny characters and stuff in it. And he basically, he's a down-on-his-luck janitor who sees his janitor friend drop dead.
Jonesy.
After he says, he goes, are you okay? It's just my allergies. Cut to dead in the cemetery. And he doesn't want to be like him, so he's thinking of how could he change his life. He tries to get a bank loan to open a bar. He can't because he doesn't have a dime to his name.
See, that's one thing that I missed in this version. They didn't, in the pilot, he like had this whole presentation and song.
Yeah,
and they completely cut that out of this one, this premiere.
Right, they just had to keep it going. Get to the premise. Chop, chop.
Yeah, I guess so.
So they show him sitting in the bathtub, feeling bad for himself, and then on E, Mick Jagger is showing off his expensive Manhattan loft, where he's got all these great things. He has a great hat room that has to stay, what is it, 67 degrees or something? So he gets all the guys, you know, all the guys he knows from the neighborhood, and he wants to pitch them an idea. Let's check it out.
Gentlemen, welcome! Were you born with a silver spoon in your mouth?
Me neither. I was born with a plastic spork in my ass, just like the rest of you. So what if we're not conventionally handsome? Or educated. Or sober. We have dreams too, don't we? And I have a plan that's going to make all our dreams come true. Let's rob Mick Jagger.
Guys, who's Mick Jagger?
You didn't even hear my...
Who's Mick Jagger?
Who's Jim? You... Big Larry, you too? Guys... Carlos!
So we got Gary, the Indian guy, who says, don't call me Gary.
Rockefeller, and then there's Squatch.
Yeah, Squatch. That's his buddy. Squatch, his best friend. I love the characters. And they even bring in this totally hot chick into the group, the Knights of Prosperity.
I think her name is like...
Esperanza, is that her name?
Yeah, Esperanza.
She's totally hot, and they even get an intern to work for them. And I love that.
They make him listen, because they they tell him that he's an intern
for
them making the sequel to Taxi, called Taxi 2, Step on It.
Yeah, with Queen Latifah.
So they make him wear headphones blasting that song. What was that?
The bitch song.
Yeah, that I'm a bitch, you know, whatever it is. He's just such a pitiful looking kid.
Yeah, there's a great scene where he's sitting with Gary, the Indian guy, and they're talking about women. Let's check it out.
You got a lady friend?
What?
You know, a girl. Kissy, kissy.
Nah, not right now.
I've been divorced 4 times.
You know why?
I love the women too much. They're life's most beautiful mystery. You know what is my favorite part of a woman?
Her legs?
No.
Breasts?
No.
Oh. Her mind.
The vagina. I love it!
I love that guy just goes, like, I'm sorry I even asked. But it was a funny show, and they do all this little gags to finally get the key to Mick Jagger's apartment. Then they show at the end that Mick Jagger has... not just the key, but he has this little thumbprint. What was it?
Code.
Like some kind of code he's got to enter. He's got armed guards. He's got all these doors he goes through.
Metal detector.
It was really funny stuff. And
I also thought it was funny. I love that they named his Asian servant boy Dat Fran.
Yeah.
He'd always kick him in the head with a soccer ball or something.
Yeah, he's just standing there being a goalie and he never moves and he goes, oh, much better. And he's got a pool full of dogs swimming around. It's just like he's got all these ridiculous things. He's so rich.
It's like, we have an indoor pool here, but I don't use it, but the dogs love it.
And it's just like all these dogs swimming in the pool. And I love his giant lips and tongue that shoots
butter dispenser.
Yeah, he's got a butter dispenser of the Rolling Stones. Like lips, it's solid gold. It spits out butter. It was great. And I can't wait to see it again next week. Finally, they premiered the show. I couldn't believe it. We waited so long.
I'm glad they finally did.
And I hope they give it a chance. It is a silly show, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, we need that kind of silly.
What channel is that on?
That's on ABC on Wednesdays, I'm going to say.
I'll tell you what, the show can only help the one that's on after it, because the one that's on after is unwatchable.
Yeah, it is. I don't even remember what it's called. But
In Case of Emergency.
Right. Really
it has bad. Jonathan Silverman in it, for Christ's sake.
It's got the single guy on it, and it's not funny. The only thing...
Oh my God, I can't believe you just referenced that old sitcom.
That's the only thing I know him from, besides, what is it, Weekend at Bernie's?
True.
But it's also got Kelly Hugh.
Yes, it does. Kelly Hugh.
She's totally hot, and she's not a funny comedic actress at all.
No.
And she's hot, but I couldn't even sit through it for her.
No.
Because, it's funny when you see a show like this, and she's friends with these dorks. I don't think so.
Didn't that single guy show have Ernest Borgnine as the doorman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, stuff like that. Okay, Bill, for weeks and weeks now, we've been watching Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
I've been watching it since the premiere episode, and I loved it, but I've kind of, as guilty pleasure, kept it a secret. We've kind of mentioned it here and there, but how great is this show? Consistently, how great is this show?
Arguably, currently, it's the best show on television.
It is a great show, and
it is really amazingly well written, and the actors are all incredible. I don't know where they got some of these people, but they are just terrific.
The writing is fantastic, and I was the same way. It's like NBC this season premiering Friday Night Lights. What? You're going to do a show about football every week? Boo!
We even made fun of it on the show.
And I think what's hurting it is some people are like, I hated that Varsity Blues movie. No. It's not based on the James Vanderbeek movie, all right?
The only thing that really kind of it bothered me in one episode particularly bad was the unsteady cam, if you will.
They do a bit of the shaky cam, but
some of it's just so over the it's like
I think they've reined it in a little.
Yeah, no, it got really bad
because it was like early BSG was very shaky, and they kind of reined it in. They kind of pulled in like, okay, calm down with the shaky cam. They really need to do that.
But that's the only thing that really bothered me.
Even that Shooting Tom Sizemore show, it's a reality show that has shaky cam.
It's all handheld,
Right.
And it's a style now.
But they've gotten good at it on Friday Night Lights.
I think it's also a choice in budget.
They have reined it in. I know what you're talking about. Basically, what the show is about, it's a small town in Texas where football is religion. It's everything.
It's like Odessa. Out west, Texas is really, really, really crazy.
Football is everything. And I love how they pray to God, like, God, please give these boys the strength to beat so-and-so next Friday. And it's like everything, religion, like Jesus and football is right there. It's the same thing, and I love that. But what I love about the characters is they're fully realized people, the coach and his wife and their daughter. I love when the coach and his wife, Bill, they're arguing over something, and his wife will not let him get away with anything.
It's incredibly
Especially
realistic.
Especially the dating thing that's going on now with his daughter and the...
Right.
With Matt Saracen.
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, Matt Saracen is kind of he's kind of a aw shucks guy. He was the backup quarterback who now is the starting quarterback because the star quarterback is now injured and paralyzed. He's in a wheelchair. And they've turned his character, which you almost think in the opening of the show when he gets injured, that the Matt Saracen guy who is now the starting quarterback, But they don't forget about the injured quarterback. It's all about him, too. It's all about everybody. Mm-hmm. And they give everybody, you know, different episodes. They cover each of their what's going on in their lives. And
But they never leave a character out in each episode. There's always, you know, the character always puts in an appearance. Like, the last episode was mainly about Saracen and Street, the injured quarterback. And, you know, there's a scene there at the end where Smash Williams shows up and... You know, everybody appears in the episodes.
Right.
Even if they don't have any dialogue, they appear.
What I love about this episode is Matt, he's taking care of his grandmother who has Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And his dad is in Iraq, where basically he's all on his own taking care of his grandmother who has dementia, they say.
Yeah.
What is it, dementia? And they think it's Alzheimer's, but she needs to get the test done, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically she's a danger to herself. So this episode, his dad shows up, and you think it's going to be great, but it's not. His dad doesn't want to deal with any of this shit. Would you? You just got back from Iraq, you know, and your mom has all these problems.
Well, you know, the dad character really kind of pissed me off, because after I started thinking about the show, is he didn't even call to say he was coming home.
He just shows up. Yeah, he looks like the kind of, like... That kind of dad who's an asshole, who's very introverted, you know.
But from what they were talking about on the show, they had conversations about how he was never like that. So something happened to him overseas.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, when he's telling to, you know, basically Matt is saying that I need help. You know, he's like, why don't you just go back to Iraq, Dad? I got this handle. He goes, oh, yeah, you're calling me and saying, oh, Dad, Grandma, I need help, I need help. And you can just tell, like, it's just bad. They can't deal with these things. You can't. Yeah. But also we have Riggins, who's like the long-haired guy who's now getting over his drinking problem. He drank all the time.
Never washes his hair.
Yeah. Well, he's basically, it's no pass or no play, right? And he has these girls always doing his schoolwork for him. I love the scene where the coach's wife, she's the counselor, and she asks him what the Scarlet Letter's about, because he got an A+ on this Scarlet Letter book report. And he's like, it's about this girl named Scarlet. She's like, you didn't even read this. Yeah, I did. And so she gets Matt's friend Landry, who I think this guy's hilarious. Landry.
I love that character.
He's like, he's Matt's
basically, the bozo friend.
Yeah, he's like the comic relief. She basically puts him, Landry, on the spot and says, you got to basically tutor Riggins and get him to get good grades. Otherwise, he's going to fail and he can't play on the team. So I got a clip here. It's basically their misadventures together, and it's pretty funny.
Hey, Riggins. Hey. Hey, Riggins, when do you want to get together and work on that book report?
Oh, man, I haven't read that.
Why have you not read it?
I don't know. I didn't get around to it.
Okay, just check it. That's great. I mean, you know, if you don't pass, you don't play, right? Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to read it to you myself? A few miles south of Soledad, the Salinas River drops in close to the hillside bank and runs deep and green. The water is warm, too, for it is slip twinkling over the yellow sands in the sunlight before reaching the narrow pool. What did I just say just now?
I don't know, some stuff about a river.
Okay, well, what did this river look like?
It's real pretty, Lander.
Okay. On one side of the river, the Golden Foothill slopes curve up.
What are Riggins doing out there?
Study. Slim said you had it, George. I swear you had it. Come on with me. He led George to the entrance of the trail and up toward the highway. Curly and Carlson looked after them, and Carlson said, well, what the hell you suppose is eating them two guys?
Damn. Guy shot his best friend. Intense. Now he's become the kind of man he said he never wanted to be.
Exactly.
I got you.
Exactly. Without Lenny, George lost all his humanity.
That's messed.
Okay, so oral report. All right, first you give a brief plot summary, and then you list the themes and how they relate to you. So, how do they relate to you? Go.
I don't know.
You don't... Okay, we just got done discussing this whole thing. Well, yes, you do.
That was talking. This is different.
How is this different? This is the same exact thing. Just tell me what
you... Seriously, what do you want me to say? You know what? Why don't you just do it for me?
Just do it for you?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to just do it for you. I mean, my God, you really are ridiculous. Do you just have the rally girls do everything for you? I mean, do they just chew your food and wipe your butt for you? How does this work? I just sat here and read the entire book to you, and you have nothing to say. There's got to be something in this head of yours that you can relate to.
I don't know.
There's got to be something.
I don't know.
What don't you know? Okay, listen. Okay, this is a book about two best friends who have a dream that gets crushed. They have a dream that gets crushed. You can't tell me that there's not something in this head of yours that you can relate this to. There's got to be something. Mike, you know, here's an example how I can relate to this. I would really, really like to shoot you right now. Okay, so you know what? Just take the book. You know, I'm done. You can figure it out on your own from here.
What I loved about all that is Landry's been with another character the whole time, Matt. And I love how they bring those two characters together for the first time on the show, that you've always seen them separate. What I love about the show is how they can do that with each of the characters.
And it's because the characters are so fully realized.
I think everyone needs to watch the show. It's a great show.
It's going to have a hard time finding an audience, only if the way that NBC advertises it isn't quite right.
Right. It's not Dawson's Creek. It's not One Tree Hill. You know, it's a different kind of show.
And Dawson's One Tree Hill.
I think people, if they just watch it, they will get into it. And it's not just the teenage characters. There's also the adult characters and how they deal with their children and stuff. And I think that's great. I love the show, and I was pleasantly surprised that it was back this week. You told me it was back, and I was like, sweet. And
yeah, I was really happy because there was nothing on.
And it turned out to be one of the best episodes so far.
Yeah.
The way Matt and his dad, after Matt's pulled from the game because he's got all this shit in his head about his grandma's going to get put into a home. He's got to move to Oklahoma to live with his aunt. His dad's going back to Iraq. And he plays like crap in the game. So they pull him. And he gets in this huge argument in front of everyone with his dad when his girlfriend just says, "Come, you're coming home with us. You're coming home with us." I mean, you just feel for the guy because...
Yeah. He should just try to become like the emancipated minor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he definitely needs to.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get rid of that character, so something will happen like that.
Well, I figured maybe Coach will take him in. I don't know.
No, that'll never happen.
I love the coach. He loves the guy, but he doesn't like him dating his daughter at all.
No.
I love the stuff where he goes in there, "Okay, Matt, time for you to go home." It's like, "Dad,
they were under a blanket."
They were sitting under the same blanket. Now, who the hell comes to my home and he gets under a blanket with my daughter? Watch Friday Night Lights. If you have not, trust me, you will like it. And in fact, I will link on our website. NBC has every single episode on their website where you can watch them all, stream them all right now. So as soon as you're done watching this, start with episode 1 if you haven't. And trust me, by episode 3, you will be addicted to this show.
Absolutely.
All right,
because I didn't want to watch it at first. And after you told me to watch it, I was like, oh, okay.
See, I enticed Bill. I said, "Bill, hot chicks on the show." And let's...
You did. You said you talked about that Minka Kelly, the brunette girlfriend.
Layla.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's like just like ungodly hot in this show.
Yeah. Like so wrong, she's so hot.
Just like she's freaking
absolutely,
hot.
You know, with no shirt on.
Yeah.
And it's just...
there's a great scene with Jason Street. He's paralyzed, and he wants to have sex with her right then. By the time they get everything going, he can't do anything. And I love... The scene's kind of comical at first, but then he says... He gets fed up, and he goes, "I can't feel anything. I'm paralyzed. This sucks. You know, I can't have sex."
It's tragic.
You just feel for the guy. You know?
Yeah, it's really tragic. His whole storyline is just really tough, and it's especially tough for my father to watch it since he was... He had a spinal cord injury back in 96, so it's got to be tough for people that have actually experienced that.
And that's great that they cover that. I was afraid his character would fall
kinda
to the wayside,
but
not at all.
Over.
We get to go through what he's going through. And how hot was it when she shows up again and she's like, "I've got quad porn right here." And he's like, "Huh?" And she puts it on. It basically shows how you can have sex with a paraplegic. And he's like, "I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch this." She's like, "No, we're watching it."
That was a really sweet scene.
It was good. Let's do the news.
of my testicles has enlarged.
Okay.
I could really go without hearing that. And that doesn't exactly give me the best mental picture.
No, we
Eric
don't.
Eric Estrada's enlarged testicle.
I want to know how often he's feeling them to know that one of them.
Yeah, it's like he just got electrocuted. He's like, wait a second. Hey, that sucker enlarged. Now, we don't have Vanessa to do the news this week.
What a slob.
But we do have Bill.
Yeah, I'll try my best. Maybe I'll even put on a sexy voice.
Whoa.
I was going to. I was just ready to do it. And then I went, oh, no. Can't do it.
Come
okay,
on.
I'm going to start the news. No, no. I'm going to start the news with an obituary.
Oh, dear.
The instant noodle creator has died at 96. Momofuku Ando, the founder chairman of Nissin Food Products Company, who is widely known as the inventor of instant noodles, died of heart failure this evening at a hospital in Akita, Osaka Prefecture, his family said. He was 96. Now, it couldn't have been that salt that's in those packets for instant noodles that caused
his
heart
died.
To give out.
Let's do it.
He was born on March 5th, 1910 in Taiwan. Ando initially ran clothing companies in Taipei and Osaka while he was a student at the Ritsumeikan University. In 1948, he founded the precursor of Nissin before introducing chicken ramen, the world's first instant noodle product, in 1958.
One, two, three. Go ahead and eat it.
So if you have any taps music, we should play it for Momofuku Ando.
Foggy, you have any good music to play? Oh, okay.
Well, let's everyone say a little prayer for Momofuku Ando's family.
And every yes. time you eat ramen, you can think of him.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Old, wrinkled Chinese man.
Poor guy.
Wouldn't it be Japanese?
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, Japanese, Chinese, Taiwanese. No, yeah, I think he was Japanese. I'm sorry. Now, this next story is really, this is just wrong.
Oh, dear.
Talk about marrying someone that's mentally ill. A woman is accused of killing her husband for a boob job. In a murder trial that began in California this week, a young mother is accused of using arsenic to kill her marine husband to, according to prosecutors, pay for plastic surgery and a shopping spree. The murder mystery has gripped San Diego and a Marine Corps air station. Cynthia Sommer, 33, is accused of poisoning her husband Todd Sommer, a Marine, with arsenic for financial gain so she could afford plastic surgery and a shopping spree. Boom. Sommer is accused of murdering her husband in order to collect his $250,000 life insurance policy. Prosecutors say soon after he died, Sommer spent $5,400 on breast implants and hosted boisterous parties at her home on the base. They recounted what she said when medics removed his body. She said something to the effect of, "We joked about the life insurance policy, but I never thought I'd actually see it."
She's got a great body. She makes me want to buy rubbers.
the poor guy. I mean, that is just crooked.
She's got a great rack.
Well, now she does.
Wow.
But nobody's really going to be getting use of it.
She's like,
well, maybe,
all this money that goes into insurance, you mean we don't get any of it unless you die? A little idea
here. And you won't get any because you murdered him.
Wow.
This is just, that scares the shit out of me. So men, make sure your wife isn't mentally ill before you marry her.
Yeah.
She's disgusting.
That's right, Trump.
In the celebrity bitching about fame category, Evangeline Lilly has hinted she will quit Lost unless the show's fans stop hassling her. The actress is growing weary of the constant attention she receives from followers of the program and admits she sometimes considers walking away from her role as sexy fugitive Kate in the hit series.
Bitch.
Lily, who is dating her Lost co-star Dominic Monaghan, said, "I'm an incredibly private person, and it's so exhausting to me that everywhere I go, people know me or they think they know me. If I could act and make the income I make and be anonymous, I would never want to leave the job. Wow.
Man, you're weak, 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 weak.
That's a good example. Look at K-Fed, Evangeline.
That is so sad that she... That is just insane that she's a celebrity, she's making money, you know, people want to know her, see her, and she's bitching about it?
I wonder how much she is bothered. How much could she possibly be bothered on the street?
Hawaii.
She wants her
anonymity.
Yeah, she wants that back, Bill.
She wants that back.
What you're saying, that word.
Anonymity.
She wants that back. And she can't have, especially if you're on the island where you make the show, everyone knows that Lost films there. And you know what? If Lost keeps going the way it is, then wish granted.
Yeah, she is just, that's such a, I'm without words. For somebody to bitch and complain about something like that.
Any star that complains about celebrity.
You know, I'm also wondering if when quotes like this are happening, it was probably off the record of some interview, and of course they jump on that.
Well, I don't know if they can publish off the record stuff.
It was probably just the throwaway kind of thing she was telling somebody.
Maybe.
Because every once in a while, I don't care what your place in life is, sometimes you'll bitch about stuff.
Yeah.
And sure.
She went to the store and these people, and she didn't get to do what she wanted to do, so she's kind of bitchy that week or that day.
But this isn't the first time she's done it. She's bitched about it before.
Right, yeah. She's got to know that that's what it comes with the territory is.
Maybe she should just go back to Alaska and gut fish like she was before.
Not being used to my ability.
Exactly. You would think that being a former sitcom star would make it easy to find love and sex in L.A. You'd be wrong. Danny Pintaro, who played adorable Jonathan Bauer on Who's the Boss for 8 seasons, posted a personal ad on a gay website describing himself as sexy, passionate, fun, verbal, obedient, and open to anything. The ex-child star, now 30, didn't use his real name on the hookup site, but displayed a photo of his face and one of his naked body in which his hand hides most of his penis, which was described in the personal ad as 7 inches and circumcised.
Yikes.
There was a list of sex acts and fetishes he's into, and the profile indicates Pintaro doesn't smoke, but drinks alcohol and occasionally uses drugs.
The guy was gay.
When he was a teen, Pintaro supported Ben Vereen's Celebrities for a Drug-Free America and helped raise funds for a teen drug abuse program. That poor son of a bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Ooh.
Dying time's here.
Poor kid.
I love footlong.
George Lucas was at the Rose Parade this past week, and he talked to people about the upcoming live-action Star Wars TV show that's planned for 2009. The San Francisco Gate is reporting that Lucas draws the distinction between the Star Wars TV show and other recent sci-fi shows like Battlestar Galactica and Firefly. He says, ours will be very different. It's very Star Wars, but it doesn't involve the Skywalkers. The characters come from the same universe, but the stories are a little bit more adult. Hopefully, he added, it will be something most people have never seen on television before.
Yikes, I'm scared, Bill.
Now, it wouldn't be complete
without
George R. Binks appearing.
It'll deal with the Binks family line.
And there was child rape within the Binks. That's why George R. is so messed up.
It's a very serious Binks story.
I wonder if it will deal
the
with
the inbreeding of the Binks family.
Yeah. I wonder if it will deal with the history of R2-D2 and C-3PO growing up gay.
It'll show who built R2-D2, because anyone cares.
Well, he's an astromech, so I would think the company that built astromech droids created him.
No, I'm thinking Anakin.
Yeah. He got him as a...
built him sometime, he just doesn't remember yet.
This is my protocol droid, I'm building it for my mom.
Yeah, what the hell is that about?
This is a protocol droid. I'm building him for my mom.
Yippee.
Yippee.
I would pay to see that with that voice all the way through.
It's coming out next year at the anniversary, Bill. Or this year, 2007.
Have you guys seen this show that's going to be on VH1 with the white rappers?
No, I haven't. What's that?
Well, it says, though there are notable success stories with white rappers like Eminem and the Beastie Boys, most obviously pale MCs often travel a hard road to respect. The White Rapper Show, a new reality program debuting Monday at 10:30 on VH1, is both a parody and a commentary on race and hip-hop. The setup is simple and instantly amusing.
Okay? I love rapping.
10 white amateurs are picked to live in a New York apartment in South Bronx, where they must prove their rhyming skills and gain respect. The winner gets
$1,000. $1,000?
No, it's $100,000. Okay. But I just thought it would be better if it was $1,000.
It was, yeah, definitely.
Hey, white boy, here's $1,000. So the show is being hosted by Michael MC Search Baron.
Nice.
Early 90s hit, The Gas Face. I've never heard this song, The Gas Face. Have you heard it? He was from the group Third Base.
Oh, yeah.
ASS.
Nice.
That's really clever.
Yeah,
I wish I could come up with something like that.
Me too.
Oh my God.
The Church of Scientology claims psychiatry is responsible for school shootings and even racism. Now the group has picked a very public place to spread its message. In 1969, the group founded the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. The commission has brought a traveling exhibit to Missouri that is highly critical of psychiatry. When I walk around and meet random people on the street, a very large majority of them either have been harmed by a psychiatrist or they know someone who has, says Moritz Farbstein, a local member of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. Farbstein admits he makes
nice
sweeping
name.
Statements. I know. He's a self-hating Jew, obviously. Farbstein admits he makes sweeping statements when talking about psychiatry. His organization sponsors an exhibit called Psychiatry, an Industry of Death, appearing at St. Louis this month. The exhibit includes several DVD viewing stations. They present interviews by psychiatrists and psychiatric victims, giving examples of the horrific side effects of psychiatric treatment, says Farbstein.
Thetan.
An Industry of Death will be on display inside the Capitol Rotunda in Jefferson City in 2 weeks. Those opposed to the group's viewpoints have already sent emails to the Capitol. This is the government's building, and we are content neutral, says Richard Arbuchon at the Office of Government Administration. The office handles bookings for the Rotunda. Psychiatry and organizations linked to Scientology have locked horns before, after Tom Cruise publicly called psychiatry a pseudoscience. The American Psychiatric Association issued this response.
I've never agreed with psychiatry.
Peer-reviewed research clearly demonstrates that treatment of mental illness works. It is unfortunate in the face of this remarkable scientific and clinical progress that a small number of individuals and groups persist in questioning its legitimacy.
You don't know the history of psychiatry. I do.
I don't think they're ever going to give this up.
No, they aren't.
Scientology, we've said it before. Scientology is psychiatry. It's their own form.
Tom Cruise gets Scientological.
So for them to criticize psychiatry is basically them criticizing themselves. I don't know why they haven't realized that.
Interesting, yeah.
An electropsychometer.
Smartass.
No, I'm... What?
Interesting. Yeah. Don't you patronize me. I'm not going to eat it.
I would never do that.
Yes, of course not. And that's news for this week.
Now, was that cult news or regular news? Or
you know what? That was both. Mixed into one.
Nice. Kind of threw in the blender there. I like it.
Yes.
But it kind of throws me off and I get kind of scared and I have to issue a code red.
I'm issuing a code red.
Yes, exactly.
You better call my mother.
Yes. Now, Steven, there's a charge in your chair, and I'm going to electrocute you.
I think one of my testicles is bigger than the other now.
Good roll.
Did they shock Wee Man?
Has enlarged.
Yeah, they did. I was afraid they were going to kill the little guy.
But they're going to send him back through the wall or something.
Yeah. They're going to shrink him even more.
Good Lord, it's a flying midget.
That would have been great if he goes, oh yeah, well mine shrink.
Mine's even smaller now.
Hey, he's not being used to his ability.
Not being used to my ability.
Thank you. Hey, Bill, we got any DVDs this week?
Yeah, we do. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, baby. DVDs are back.
Whoa, what the? I didn't know what to buy over the past couple of weeks without Bill.
I know. What do we got? We got DVDs again.
We've had some pretty good releases over the past couple of weeks. I'll have to cover them later or on the website. I'll make
a kissy, kissy.
Starting with DVDs for January 9th, 2007.
Wow, we're in the future.
We are in the future. This movie isn't good. I'll just say it right out. It got really horrible reviews, but it is filled with eye candy, and that eye candy is Salma Hayek and Penelope Cruz in Banditas.
Oh.
Yes, it's a sexy, hilarious, action-packed westerns.
I feel like I've been stabbed in the heart.
Sorry, Polly. they are determined to avenge the deaths of their fathers. Sarah and Maria vow to seize the ill-gotten gains of a robber baron, Tyler Jackson, played by Dwight Yoakam. So, with help from a retired bank robber, played by Sam Shepard, and a jittery criminologist, played by Steve Zahn, these two beauties become unlikely outlaws, blazing a trail of larceny and laughter across Mexico.
Well, that's great, Larry.
So basically, they show a lot of cleavage and they bend over a lot, right?
Yes.
Okay, sold!
Next DVD is Crank with Jason Statham and Amy Smart.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, I watched it. I downloaded a screener of it a few months ago. And it wasn't bad. It was pretty action-packed.
Get out.
Turn your brain off while you watch it sort of thing.
It looked like crazy. I want to see it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I've kind of got a crazy, weird attraction to Amy Smart, so.
So do I. There's something about her. She's not gorgeous, but there's something.
She's got some
stuff
going on there, wouldn't you say, Steven?
Yes.
What are you guys dumb?
Well, hey, I'm sorry, Deason, but she's pretty hot to us, you know what I'm saying?
She doesn't find her attractive.
Look at this picture of her.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I thought. Next DVD is a set. It's Extras, the complete first season, the Ricky Gervais show
Cookie Jervis.
Yes, Cookie Jervis. No, I hated this show. I really hated this show.
I tried to watch it. I couldn't get into it.
It was the epitome of pretentious. They like tries to be funny. It's not funny. Maybe I just don't get the humor.
I got no class.
But I just didn't like it at all. I'm sure there's people out there that love it. And, hooray for them. But me, no thanks.
I think you're insane.
Now,
well, I've been called that before.
I will say this, Bill. I've seen previews to this upcoming season, and there's some funny parts they show in the clips. But what it is you have to sit through the whole episode to chuckle once in the whole show. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
There's this funny part with the kid who plays Daniel Radcliffe, who plays Harry Potter. That looks kind of funny, but you got to sit through the whole thing for that. So,
yeah, is that the scene where where he pulls out the condom, the unwrapped condom, and
yeah. So basically, if you're into like Christopher Guest type comedies, you'll probably like Extras, wouldn't you say, Bill?
You know what? You're probably right. You know, and I'm not a real big fan of Christopher Guest comedies, but Yeah, so maybe that means maybe yeah, that's why
you don't
like
know.
Her.
You don't even have a clue.
Exactly.
That's right, Bubba. I'm sorry. I just shut up. Now, the next DVD is a film that has basically been shoved right to DVD. I think they showed it in two theaters, one in New York, one in L.A., and the film is Idiocracy. It's from Mike Judge.
Oh, yeah,
Created Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, Office Space. It's about a guy that isn't real smart. In fact, he's stupid. And when the government approaches him about a hibernation experiment, he says, okay, why not? These guys are smart. We'll do this. But it goes awry, the experiment, and he awakens in the year 2505 to find society so dumbed down by mass commercialism and mindless TV programming that he has become the smartest guy on the planet. So it's filled with sarcasm and sight gags and all that, and I don't know why it was... I watched it today. I found it funny. I found it entertaining. It's not great.
I don't know. Fox just cut the umbilical with this. They didn't want to have anything to do with the movie. They didn't even give it a website. Every movie has a website before it comes out. They didn't give it any press at all. Period.
I really liked it. I thought it was, it's one of those movies that... I'm not going to buy it, but I'll watch it anytime it's on.
Do you think it could have made some money if they would have
absolutely
given it
if
a
they
wide would have
released it? It definitely could have made some money.
Hey, this grapefruit's rotten.
This next DVD I've heard about. In fact, there was a clip online of Kiefer Sutherland drunk in a hotel lobby, and he jumps and tackles a Christmas tree. Did you guys ever see that?
No.
Well. It's from a film, a documentary film called I Trust You to Kill Me. And it's with Kiefer Sutherland and this band called Rocco DeLuca and The Burden. And I guess it's him documenting this band's world tour, but he's not just behind the camera, he's in front of it. So if you're a fan of Kiefer Sutherland or this band, you might want to check it out. It looks pretty interesting.
Wow, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about, but I want to check it out.
I'll send you the clip online. It's actually one of the more popular, like, viral clips.
Okay, because it's just kind of like, what the hell is Kiefer Sutherland doing?
Yeah, he's basically out of his mind drunk touring with a band. Ah. Next DVD is The Illusionist with Edward Norton, Jessica Biel, and Paul Giamatti.
Jessica Biel, bad actress, kind of hot.
Incredible ass.
But also a big dork.
Yes, this is one of the two magician films that came out this year, and from what I understand, it's the better of the two magician films.
Yeah, I heard that. I've seen the other magician story, Steve Wea, but I'd like to see this magician story also.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out. Next DVD.
Okay.
Have any of you watched that show on the BBC called MI5? It's kind of like the British Alias.
Yes, place. I have seen at least two episodes of it, and I have no idea what continuity or what season.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
I cannot understand the show at all. The accents are so heavy, but they're releasing the series 5, the most recent one, on DVD here in the States. So if you like that show, I know there's some fans of our show that really enjoy those.
It's a conspiracy.
You know, those English shows like that. Next DVD is The Night Listener. It's a Robin Williams film based on a book.
Yeah.
About a guy that befriends a child. Bizarre, and it's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's like mysterious. He's a DJ at night or something, and mysterious lady and a kid or something.
Yeah, I think he reads stories on the radio at night or something.
Right,
I can't remember how it works.
Yeah, it's weird stuff, but
I want to rent it because I've just heard a lot of really cool things about it. I think that's it for DVDs this week.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. It's not really a terrific week for DVDs. I'm really trying hard to pull something out here.
Hey, you, get your damn hands off her.
Yeah, there's just nothing else of any good mention, so I'll leave it at that. That's DVDs for January 9th, 2007.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. We appreciate you doing the DVDs again.
I appreciate
She's crude. She's tough. She's arrogant. She's pushy. She's disgusting. In certain ways, she's a degenerate.
Who the hell are you talking about?
What ways is she a degenerate? I want to know what ways.
Me too. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
In certain ways.
What a slob.
Well, I guess he knows her personally.
Yes, he does. He's like, I've done her. It wasn't that good. She's a lesbian.
She's a little sloppy, not too clean.
All right, everybody. Episode 65 is over. Thank you for listening. Now, I know we were a little off our game this week. Hey, we're getting back into it, right, guys?
Had a little
we'll be better next week.
Yeah, we're getting back into the show. And our show, you may notice that the openings are a little different. We're kind of doing a little montage thing. We're trying something new.
It's a little collage.
Yeah, and it's kind of gets you into what we talk about on the show, all of our different movies and stuff that have influenced our entire lives. Kind of bringing that out of my brain onto the canvas, as they say. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. But if you would like to try to decipher that, shoot us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com or send us a voicemail, much like the Rondu did at 1206-202-3491.
Just try to make it a little more interesting.
Take your NyQuil before you call.
Yeah, I hope you feel better, Rondu. Also, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There you'll find links to our chat room. Yes! Our chat room, Friday Night Chats, is coming back. So after you listen to this, keep your Friday open to chat with us. I will be there, I promise.
I will too.
And so will Steven.
I will be there. I haven't heard anything about it. You haven't mentioned it lately, and I didn't know if you were...
Why are you getting so defensive, Steven?
I haven't gone on it.
No, there hasn't been one. But I'm telling everybody. Okay, here's an announcement I wanted to make. Our forums suck, right? They're really slow. Sometimes it's hard to load them. No one is ever there. So we're slowly going to switch to nimforum.com. That's NIMFORUM.com. Join up on our new forums, and eventually we're going to do away with the old one. All of those old posts will be lost. Who cares? But we're starting over at nimforum.com. I'll post an announcement. Hopefully people who like to post once a year on our forums will switch to the new ones that are much nicer. Thanks.
Yeah, no more spam. It's our own hosted server.
Yeah, no more dirty spam. What is that fentanyl stuff that they're always trying to get you by?
Some Russian sex and all that. It's really
pitiful. Yeah, sex brides, Russian sex brides.
Yes.
Hey, how do these chicks look hot or what? I'm kind of intrigued.
Very.
I'm already married. Just kidding. Ah, duh, yes, Russian brides. But, yeah, check that out. Just keep that in mind. And we're back to doing the show, and it's great. And, here's another thing. Dig.com. Do you ever go to Dig? That's Kevin Rose's thing. It's social news and stuff. What you do is you dig news stories you like and they get bumped up. Well, they have a podcast section now where you dig Nowhere in Mulberry. And the more digs we get, the more we raise up. Maybe we get noticed, get new listeners. Also, our buddies, the Hollywood Saloon, Andy, he's gotten us a lot of digs. So just go on there, take the time, dig us if you're on Dig. If not, sign up on Dig. It just takes a second. It's a really cool site anyway. You look at Dig every day and you get all these cool news stories. It's really cool to browse every day, don't you think, Bill?
Yeah, it's one of my sites that I go to at least two or three times a day just to see what's new.
There's always really something really cool on there. So yep. Keep that in mind, and thank you, everyone. Much love. Peace out. All that stuff. See you next week. We're going to talk some 24. I hope you guys are excited about that and all of our other stuff. All right, guys.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Have a good
Happy
one.
Happy New Year.
I would really, really like to shoot you right now.
Now this is podcasting.